Welcome to another edition of the War Room here this Monday morning. I'm your host, Sean Fry, on KOKC Radio, and it is cold out there. Everybody be safe. Temperatures have been down 10 and below. Wind chills below zero. The roads can be treacherous. It is dangerously cold to be out there. Don't leave pets out there. Don't be outside longer than absolutely necessary. If you're driving, be safe. Get to work safely. Everybody continue to be cautious just be safe. Be safe out there. It is freaking cold. My guest today is going to be Tanner Barkus, the Parsons High School wide receiver who was named to the Shrine Bowl for 2021. We'll talk a little bit about what his season was like and what making the Shrine Bowl means to him. Looking back on the week of sports, one of the biggest things that I saw over the weekend was LeBet Community College Volleyball getting its first win of the year. And its first conference win since 2018. They beat Heston at home in four sets. Great win for head coach Haley Miller and that program. A team that continues to impress me is the LeBet County girls. They are 5-0 over the last 2 weeks against almost exclusively good competition. They've beat Pittsburgh. They've beat Chanute. They've beat a Parsons team that's playing better. They've beat a Fort Scott team that's playing better. This is an impressive group right now. 5-0. The other team they beat in that 5-0 stretch was an independent team that hadn't lost in league yet. These girls over at LeBet County have a stranglehold on first place in the league right now. They are two games ahead of the pack, and they're into the second half of the round robin. Hard to envision a path where they don't win the league title at this point. I mean, if they just continue to play like they have been playing. Parsons girls beating Coffeyville last Friday night, and the Parsons boys also beating Coffeyville to snap a two-game skid, a skid that lasted longer than the two games sounds because they've only played one game a week the last 3 weeks, so they just had to really kind of sit with it for a while. But hopefully Anthony Houck and the Parsons Vikings starting to trend back in the right direction with the return of Paxton Swanson from injury. The St. Paul girls continue to look good. Cherryville girls playing a lot better right now. Cherryville boys suffering a difficult loss to Columbus. Rodney Vigil's got them playing well. We'll see how they continue to play in league. Erie boys continuing to play well. They're just a team. They're a team to really look out for. I think they're sub-state. I think they have an opportunity to return to state for the second straight year. Erie girls struggling a little bit. They're hitting a bit of a funk. Wrestling results were in all around the state as well. Check out the Parsons Sun for full recaps on that. They're well into their postseason. My guest today is Tanner Barkus. We're going to go to a quick break here on the War Room. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to the War Room here on this cold Monday morning. I'm your host, Sean Fry, joined by Parsons Vikings wide receiver and Shrine Bowl invitee, Tanner Barkus. Tanner, how's it going, man?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. It's cold, man. I hate being cliche and talking about the weather to open up the day. Like, that's what you talk about on the elevator with somebody, but it's freaking cold out there. Yeah,
it's freezing.
It's unbearable. I can't remember it being this cold since I've lived here, and I got here in 2014. It's been a while since it's been this bad. I'll just jump right in. Tell me about the moment that you found out you made the Shrine Bowl, where you were, who you're with, and what the reaction was.
I believe it was, I can't remember what day, but I was just with my family. We were just in the living room and we put it onto the TV just from our laptop and watched. And I was just hoping, waiting to hear my name. And so when I was called, it was, it felt great, really.
So it was your family with you. So I'm assuming your dad, Rob Barkus.
Yep.
Your mother, Kendra. Were all your siblings there?
No, and then the only other one was my little brother, Connor.
Where was Hunter Barkus? He lives in town. Where was he?
it was early. It was like 9 or 10 a.m. So probably wasn't awake.
Had you been given any advance notice that you were going to be called out?
No, not really.
So it was a total surprise to you?
Pretty much, yeah.
So, from my perspective, I'll take you through. So it's all Kansas media. It's not some special honor that I get, but I vote for the Shrine Bowl. Mm-hmm. And, when, when you cast your vote, the Shrine Bowl sends out like a list of guidelines, and one of them is don't be locally biased. So that means if my whole ballot was everybody from Parsons and Labette County and Oswego, they'd be like, okay, this guy's just trying to get his guys on there. We're tossing his ballot. Yeah. And they explicitly say that. Any ballots that appear to have a local bias will be tossed. Now, that doesn't mean I can't vote for one or two Parsons guys or one or two Labette County guys or one or two Oswego guys. And in fact, I did. I put an Oswego and a Parsons guy on my ballot because their stats can justify it. You were third in the state in receiving in all classes in receiving yards. So I think that sheer number, I think, probably helped you a lot. Because when I'm going through, you know, the ballot, which you are provided a list of candidates, by the way. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and that list is 2 miles long. And I've seen maybe 10% of those guys over the course of the year. I don't know what the guy from Lakin plays like. I've never seen him before. So and that makes the Shrine Bowl selection kind of difficult. It means we rely on Western Kansas media to provide their input and everything. But it also means time to go to Max Preps and see, all right, who leads the state in passing yards? Who leads the state in rushing yards? Mm-hmm. We're going to see if those names match someone on the ballot. And if they do, they get on. And your number three, your name does. So I think that definitely helped. And then secondly, I mean, you're a good talent. You caught a lot of balls. You knew how to, and you had a very decent year. Take me back to this past season that you had, where you became the primary target. Was that a role you were expecting to have going into the year?
Well, starting the very beginning of the season, before we even really practiced, it was summer weights. I didn't know fully on where I would be on like
the depth
main,
chart,
the main targets. And I knew we'd have Julius Smith-Reese coming too, which mm-hmm. Was going to be another primary target for Ethan, but he got hurt right before the season started. So that's when I knew I was really going to have to step up big in order to mm-hmm. help our team. So I knew from then on, and I just worked as hard as I could to.
Juju did have a couple of good games in there when he finally came back. You guys were a good duo.
Yeah.
And in fact, one of the few games where he was healthy, and I think you both caught for maybe over 60, 70 yards. That was one of the few games you won that year.
Yeah. I think we were good together.
Mm-hmm. You know, production aside, there was one thing I wanted to talk to you about. So I reported on this when it happened. But, you know, several months removed from it, I'm curious as to what your perspective is now on what happened against Iola. Not the fact that you won the game in a very exciting fashion, but after the game, you had a couple players on your team on the Parsons roster say, hey, we experienced some fans that made some racist comments at us during the game. So you guys as players decided, let's have a Zoom meeting with the Iola players, talk to them kind of about our grievances a little mm-hmm. bit, and, you know, come up with a solution that can work long term, and so they can understand our side better. Take me through your perspective of that, what that meeting was like, and what you kind of remember about it.
I think it was a very important thing for us to do. Obviously, I didn't really hear much of it on the field or mm-hmm. from what I was hearing, but I'm always going to trust my guys first, so I'll stand mm-hmm. behind them whenever.
I mean, you had about three or four of them say the exact same. Yeah, we heard the exact same thing. Yeah, so.
Yeah, we met. We were just all together in the high school community room. And
for those who don't know what that is, which I didn't, when somebody told me we're meeting in the community room, I was like, what's that? That's where the concession stand is for like basketball games and stuff.
Yeah. So we were all together in there. It was just our football team and some of the coaches that could make it. And really, the players who heard it and just whoever wanted to speak could go up and explain how it affected them and how it affects our town, mm-hmm. and like where we come from.
Were you one of the ones that spoke?
No, I didn't speak, but we had four or five guys speak.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was really powerful. It was great to see how they responded too.
And that was kind of my next question. What was Iola's response?
I think they met it well. I think they understood of, hey, there's no reason not to trust us. Like, mm-hmm. so they met us well, and we expected them to, mm-hmm. like,
hold themselves accountable.
Yeah, hold themselves accountable. Yeah. So it was, I think it was a good meeting. I think it mm-hmm. accomplished what we wanted it to. So,
you know, what's interesting to me is how you guys responded to that after the summer that we had, which, mm-hmm. you know, if I remember correctly, I saw you at the Black Lives Matter protest in Parsons over the summer. And, you know, it was interesting for me because at that time in my life, I'm working the news desk because there's no sports happening in the world because mm-hmm. Because of the pandemic. And so I covered the protest that day, and it was really eye-opening to me to see so many student athletes that I cover on a regular basis there. I basically saw the whole Parsons basketball team. I saw most of the football team. I saw a lot of Labette County athletes. I saw St. Paul athletes there. I saw mm-hmm. a couple Cherryville athletes there. And it was, I mean, it was moving in that sense. And I think what you guys did as a team several months later shows the iteration. It shows a modicum of progress a little bit in that area. Definitely. How does that kind of all weigh on your mind?
I mean, situations like that do weigh heavy, and I think it's great to see the outpour of the athletes around our community that's willing to stand for it and willing to attempt to make a change in other places that we don't know how it's like, but we can do what we can to influence mm-hmm. them. So,
you know, it was... So I interviewed the four players that heard something, and I'm sounding very ignorant right now because I can't remember all their names. Javen Brown and Yusuf Kendrick were definitely two of them. Cooper Woodworth was also someone who stood back and interviewed with me afterwards. My mind's blanking who the other two were, and I apologize for that if you're listening. But one thing that struck me was, I had never interviewed those four players before. So usually when I interview particularly any kid, any student athlete who's a high school kid, for the first time ever, I kind of say, hey, I'm a reporter. I'm recording this on my phone. I'm just going to listen to it so I can type back what you say, just to explain it, because they're not a head coach. They're not an adult. They're not used to having a mic shoved in their face.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just want them to feel comfortable. And given the sensitivity of the situation, I said, hey, I'll do for you guys what I'm about to ask you to do for me. And so say, ask me any questions you want, and I'll answer them fully and honestly. And I've done that before, and sometimes people don't ask me any questions, or sometimes they just ask, you know, honestly, they ask me something almost silly just to break the ice. But Javen Brown asked me, how would you have reacted if it had happened to you? And my instinctual reaction, I told him I'd give him an honest, you know, complete answer. And so I answered instinctually. I said, oh, I would have freaked out.
Yeah.
Like I would have yelled at the guy. I would have made a scene. Had I actually been at that Iola game and heard it, I genuinely probably would have said something.
Mm-hmm.
Because ask your dad, I'm not wanting to shy away from confrontation with fans and stuff.
Yeah.
So I would have made a scene about it then. And if I was a kid, I would have made a bigger scene about it. And that's kind of when it hit me live on the spot that had they made a scene, they would have been portrayed as the bad guys. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the whole point to me. And I'm curious. So I'll ask you the question they asked me. How would you have reacted had you heard it in the moment?
I'm not even for sure. It definitely would have hurt. It
mm-hmm.
would have, I don't know. I might've freaked out too. I'm not sure how my emotions would have came out, but I know exactly what you're saying. They would have mm-hmm. been portrayed as the bad guys. And
mm-hmm.
that's,
oh, Parsons kids out of control.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, we have a quote unquote rhetoric or whatever.
Reputation.
About reputation. Yeah. So I honestly don't know how I would have reacted, but it wouldn't have been good.
Mm-hmm. I guess to me that is the problem in and of itself. Mm-hmm. And it was more disturbing to me given everything that had happened over the year. And, you know, I don't mean to get into too much of a social, you know, political conversation, but the pandemic disproportionately affected communities of color and anybody who's impoverished. If you're if you were struggling before the pandemic, it made it way worse.
Yes, definitely.
And so, you know, I think it is incumbent on people who maybe didn't feel it as hard to step it up a little bit. And yeah. I think you guys did that very well. Another question I'll ask you about the season. Let's go back to football a little bit. You didn't have the last two seasons at Parsons haven't been the best. Mm-hmm. Two wins the year prior and then three wins this year. You guys made a little bit of progress under Jeff Scheibe in his first year. You guys went from two wins to three. That's better. That's an yep. improvement. And I think obviously the biggest part of that improvement was you guys made the playoffs, which, you know, the year prior you got relegated to a consolation game, which if it was up to me, if I was ever a football coach, I don't want to play that game. Yeah. Like, no, if I get to that game, I'm just not playing it. And part of it is because if I'm in a playing game, or I'm sorry, if I'm in a consolation game, that probably means I didn't have a good season. And given the fact that four out of six teams at a district will make a playoff, that means I probably had a particularly bad season of two or one win. My guys have probably had enough. So you guys went into a game against Cherryville, a team that I maintain is better than anybody gives anybody any credit for. Cherryville has been a good program for a long time. When they were under Harry Hester, their head coach before their guy Travis Young now, Harry Hester was the guy who was there when I got here. You know, a bad year for them was about five wins. They were a team that beat Caney Valley not too long ago. They were a team that could compete that, you know, beat the piss out of Baxter Springs. They're a team that could compete. And they're a team that had a very similar year to you guys up to that week, I think it was a week eight matchup. And you guys, and whoever won that game was going into the bracket, and whoever lost got that consolation game. And that was probably your best played game of the year. That game wasn't close from the start.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious when you look back on the type of season that you had your ups and downs, you had your ups like that game against Cherryville, and you had your downs, which are probably a few more downs than ups, honestly. I'm curious how you reflect on the season now that it's several months behind us at this point.
I mean, the season itself, you look at our record, it's mm-hmm. not the best, like you said. But I think internally as a team, we made leaps and bounds.
How so?
We're just, the coaching staff has really gotten in tune with the players as well. And so we were very interconnected this season, and it all felt like a family, and we were passionate about working for each other, really. I didn't find much selfishness this year. So I think if you look back now, and the way I would see it is a type of foundation we've set that future seasons can build, future teams and seasons and the younger class can build on and continue going up from it. Because I think as a team this year, we had a great season as a family.
So mm-hmm.
It was
what did Scheibe and the staff do to promote that?
They were just always communicating with us. They talked to a lot of us on the phone all the time,
mm-hmm.
and we knew through the COVID situation that how
uncertain any game could have been. Yeah.
So every game we tried to play like it was our last, and that was one of the things we said the whole season. So we knew we had to hold ourselves accountable to mm-hmm. follow like restrictions and stuff so we could play the next week. So
mm-hmm.
yeah, I think as a family, it mm-hmm. really brought us together.
We got about 5 minutes left, and so I'll ask you about what your future holds. I think a lot of people, they see a kid who makes a Shrine Bowl who intends to play in the Shrine Bowl, right? You intend to go up to Hutch and actually play in it?
I didn't intend to play.
You know, they're thinking, okay, that kid's going to go play college football somewhere. Your intention, to the best of my knowledge, and I've asked you this question a couple times, is to go to KU as a student. Rob tells me you might want to walk on to the football team there, and I know KU and K-State have success with walk-ons there, and they welcome them with open arms, especially for kids like you who are in-state kids who have success on the field. They'll give you an opportunity. Let's hear it from the source himself. What is Tanner Barkus going to do for his college career? Or have you made that decision yet?
I haven't fully decided yet, and I've been saying that for a while, but I still haven't made a full decision yet. I do plan on going to KU for like academics and stuff, but I'm still considering the walk-on part, and I'm just really not sure yet.
Is there an offer from a JUCO, from a Kansas Jayhawk school, that would entice you enough to go there?
I've talked to some coaches and like of programs, and they all seem like they can be great programs, and maybe I could make a great fit there, but none have really struck me as me like actively wanting to go. So
a hard question. Why? I mean, you are a good football talent who could probably, you know, and the opportunity exists for you to be a college football player. Why is, and I'm genuinely not disparaging it, but it's an honest question. Why does that opportunity not entice you enough to go to a Coffeyville or a Hutch or whoever has football, Independence, whoever wants to have you?
Well, I've always kind of had a set, for a few years now, I've had a set plan of what I want to do with my future.
Yes.
And so I knew what I was going to do, and I'm still stuck to that in my mind, but then I did have a decent season this year, so that complicated.
Decent season, made the Shrine Bowl, that's decent.
That complicated things a little bit, but I don't know, I'm still stuck to my plan so far. So.
Which, that's to me, that's the right answer, is you had a set plan, and, you know, everybody always preaches, you know, don't let a setback deviate you from what your goal is. Well, if you're not going to let a setback deviate you, don't let maybe some extra opportunity take you off the course as well. Mm-hmm. And you had a good course in front of you. You're going to be, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. If you're not, you're a borderline 4.0 student.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, 4.0 student. Way better than I did in high school. I was hovering around 3.2. And then in college, I was in the twos. Don't do that. I mean, it's a you have a world of opportunity in front of you, and I know you'll make the most of it. I will say this, as someone who watches football in this community and in this state, I hope at some point in your life you find your way back to football, whether it's just coaching at the high school, in the community, that wherever you end up. I mean, hell, maybe in 5 years you're on Shibe's staff, work, you know, as a Rule 10 coach. I think the opportunity exists for you to continue to make an impact in the sport, no matter what path you take. And I think that's, and the reason I see that is because I see the type of person and type of young man you're becoming, and I think you can set that good example. About a minute left. Going forward, we said before we got on air that you're not sure if you're going to do track this year. Your dad's a track coach, so I'm sure he's going to want to try and drag you by your feet to practice. But what's the biggest goal or the biggest kind of challenge you see ahead of you over these next few months to finish out your high school career strong?
Yeah, he's been really trying to get me to go out for it. But yeah, March 27th, I believe, is the state powerlifting meet, and that's what I've been getting ready for as of now, and I plan to attend it. But so I've been in the weight room a lot and things like that, just and watching weight and stuff like that. So that's what I've been focused on lately, and I want to finish out my grades well for good scholarships and stuff. So
good deal.
That's what I'm looking at now.
Awesome. Well, hey, Tanner, no matter what you do, keep in touch. I'm sure we'll be seeing each other a little bit or plenty over these next few months. Mm-hmm. Thank you for coming on, man. I appreciate the time, especially we recorded this on Sunday and the roads weren't great and it was too cold to operate. But I appreciate you coming in the studio and spending some time with me.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It was fun.
Awesome. That'll do it for the War Room here. I am your host, Sean Fry, Tanner Barkus, Parsons Vikings wide receiver, 4.0 student, and college football player question mark. We'll see what the future holds for him. That'll do it this week. Everybody continue to stay safe and, you know, stay safe amid the pandemic, stay safe on the roads. You know, last week I lost probably over, you know, half of the games I had to cover because of all the delays, and I'm sure I'm experiencing the same thing this week. So we'll see what kind of chaos ensues here in the next few weeks, all because of this weather. That'll do it, everybody, and God bless.